You're so exhausted that you sleep a good deal of the time. It's the other symptom of that is the level of just like getting up and going to the restroom and coming back is an ordeal because you're just so exhausted from it. It seems to kind of attack your body in that way.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Pod County. I'm your host, Kyle Grantham. Today on Pod County, we're going to be talking to Ruth Lytle Barnaby. Ruth is the president of Planned Parenthood of Delaware, but that's not exactly why we're talking to her today. While that's an incredibly important role and we do discuss the important things that Planned Parenthood does, Ruth is also a survivor of COVID-19. And as we begin this week to enter the second phase of Delaware's reopening, we really feel it's important that people understand that the coronavirus hasn't gone away, that this is still a problem in our community. Here at the county, we've launched our own testing sites. You can sign up to get tested at delaware.curativeinc.com. You can be tested as many times as you'd like. There's certainly no limit to it. It's fast. It's free. Nothing goes up your nose. It's easy. But we talked to Ruth because Ruth lived through the reality of what happens to someone who gets COVID-19 and who has all the symptoms. We're seeing states across the country who have been reopening and have reopened very quickly. And we talked to Ruth on June 1st, the day of the phase one reopening. And so here we are 2 weeks later. And it is the phase two opening, so we're starting to see things ramp up. And as we've seen in states across the country, especially in the South, coronavirus cases are spiking. Several states have seen their highest single-day reported number of cases during the entire pandemic, and it's happening now after reopening. So again, you know, we want to make sure that people understand how serious this condition is if you are unfortunate enough not only to catch COVID-19, but also to experience the full symptoms of it, that this is incredibly, incredibly serious. So Ruth shares with us her story of surviving this awful virus. And again, you know, also explains the valuable work that's happening out there right now. So if you're curious how serious this thing can be, if you're a bit worried if this whole thing has been overblown, I encourage you to listen to what a survivor has to say. And keep in mind that this thing has not gone away. It is still very much in our community, and how important it is to get tested and get tested regularly, especially if you are out in the community returning to some sense of normal pre-COVID action. If you are around groups of people, if you have been out protesting, please, please get tested. It is incredibly likely that someone in that crowd has or had COVID-19. And you may have been exposed to it. So please do not hesitate to get tested. They are free. It is so easy. It is so quick. And like I said, we're doing 10 sites a week, 2 sites a day, every day but Sunday and Tuesday. It's so easy. And you could not only save your life, you could save someone else's life around you because, as you'll hear from Ruth, it is not a good time having this virus. So with that, we'll get into the episode. This is Pod County. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Pod County. We're joined today by Planned Parenthood's Ruth Lytle Barnaby. Ruth, you are what is your official title?
President and CEO.
President and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Delaware, correct?
Yes.
And we are also joined by County Executive Matt Meyer, who is here with us today. And Ruth is a really special guest. Ruth is a COVID-19 survivor. She came down, you say, early May.
I came down with it in April.
In April, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you recovered mm-hmm. by mid-May.
Yes, I did.
By mid-May. So Ruth's going to tell us a little bit about what it's like, how this thing is no joke, no hoax, and what you can do, hopefully, to keep yourself safe. So Ruth, thanks for joining us, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background.
Sure. I have worked in healthcare my whole life. I have a background in social work, so both a master's and bachelor's in social work, and have been a private practice therapist and moved into administration. Moved here from Colorado 8 years ago to take the job at Planned Parenthood. So from healthcare administration to Planned Parenthood, a lot of clinic work and work with people who have needs.
Where were you at in Colorado?
Fort Collins.
I lived in Casper, Wyoming for a year.
So yes, we were neighbors.
Yes, not well. You're as neighbors as you can be out there, right? 6 hours apart is neighborly.
It is.
Yeah, that's true.
So Ruth, I have a question. If someone walked in that door right now and said they just tested positive for COVID-19, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would first ask them to turn around and walk into a different room just because of how easy it is to spread. And I would make sure that they were indeed had gotten the test so that they could confirm that they did have COVID and get in touch with their physician so that they could get medical treatment and have the kind of assistance that one needs when they develop additional symptoms, just in case theirs is worse than other cases.
Then what if they said, oh my God, I'm positive, I'm going to die?
Well, people do die with COVID, but most people don't die. It's less than 1% that die with it. So those that have the most to worry about are those with underlying health conditions. So if you have diabetes, if you have high blood pressure that's out of control, like a lot of the chronic illnesses, asthma, those are the kind of things that you would worry about COVID impacting you in a greater way than those of us that don't have that.
So tell us a little bit about your experience. Do you have any idea how you were exposed?
I think I was exposed in a doctor's office with another patient. This was before everybody was readily wearing masks, so I had my mask on, but there was another person just coughing pretty rigorously, and I think that's where I got it, though it could have been the grocery store. The reality is that the mask protects others from you. It doesn't protect you from others.
That's right.
So that's my guess, but not sure.
I think I've seen the data shows if you are wearing a mask just by yourself, it reduces your likelihood by about 30%.
Right.
If you're wearing a mask and you're infected and you're around the other person, it reduces that person's likelihood by 70%. And if the two of you are both wearing a mask, it reduces your likelihood by 95%.
That is exactly right.
Yeah, so that's why the mask is not about you. Mm-hmm. You just need to care about other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, yes. I hold no malice to the person whoever it was that infected me. It is part of life, and really, we're all learning through this.
For sure, for sure.
Good. So you go to the doctor's office, somebody's coughing, you go see the doctor, then you go home, and then what happens?
About 5-6 days later, I had already been taking my temperature every day because at work, we have to take our temperature before we enter.
Why don't you tell us
at
work? So what exactly is Planned Parenthood? People hear about sort of the most controversial aspects,
right?
But most people don't know what does Planned Parenthood actually do every day?
Mm-hmm. Most of what we do is provide birth control, STD testing, prenatal care, annual visits, pap smears, so lots of cancer screens, and education for folks so that they understand how either to get pregnant if they want to or how not to if they don't want to. And that's about 94% of what we do. The controversial part that people struggle with is the abortion services, and we do provide that for patients as well. When COVID first started, we very quickly took action as to how we were going to protect our staff and how we were going to protect patients. So for staff, when you come in every day, you have to have a temperature and symptom checks. So we ask about who you might have been exposed to. We ask how you're feeling. We check your temperature. We check other kinds of symptoms that COVID can present with. And then if you pass all of those, you get to come into work. If you don't, you get sent home. So we have a low threshold that we use for temperature, so 99.5. I happened to have gotten up that morning when I first started having symptoms, took my temperature at home because I felt pretty warm, and I was up to 101.
Mm.
So called our medical director because we do that kind of screening and was stay home. And then I called my doctor to get the test because I started getting other symptoms as well, not being able to smell or taste, which is really a biggie. And for some people that are a little more asymptomatic, that might be the thing that they have. So I couldn't smell, couldn't taste, had a fever, and then I started getting body aches. And so my physician ordered the test, had the test, and then 5 days later, which I stayed home the whole time so that I couldn't infect anyone else, had the results of that I had COVID.
So this is about 5-6 days from the day you think you're exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Your temperature is 101.
Mm-hmm.
About the same time, you felt like you were losing your sense of smell and sense of taste.
Mm-hmm.
You call your doctor, you go in right away.
Mm-hmm.
get a test. And so really it's maybe 10, 11 days out from exposure before you get your test result back.
Correct. But I acted as though I had COVID. I was pretty sure I did.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Acted as if you had COVID?
You stay home and you self-isolate so that you don't pass that on to anyone else.
How did you eat?
Well, you eat by yourself in a room by yourself. You get family members to deliver things to you. And you're so exhausted that you sleep a good deal of the time. It's the other symptom of that is the level of just like getting up and going to the restroom and coming back is an ordeal because you're just so exhausted from it. It seems to kind of attack your body in that way. Now, and those are just my symptoms. Some people have COVID and don't have any symptoms at all.
Yeah, we're seeing like 40% of people maybe just asymptomatic, never know.
Yeah, and then other people are so bad that they need to be hospitalized and be put on a vent. So, and I would say that I went along with that until about day 9, and that's when I got the shortness of breath. So like days 9 through 13 were pretty bad days. If I walked up the steps, you'd think I'd run a marathon. That was the scariest part for me, was the shortness of breath. And then day 14, by the afternoon, it's just like things went away. All my symptoms went away.
Wow.
And so that made a huge difference.
Good. You took the doctor prescribed medicine, or were you not medicated? What did you do?
At the beginning, I got a Z-Pak.
Explain what exactly is a Z-Pak.
It's an antibiotic, because you can have many different kinds of viruses, or you could have something bacterial, or it could have been a sinus infection. So the purpose of the test is to really make sure you identify if you've had COVID or not. So I got that for the just in case. Really, the only other medicine you are taking during this kind of a virus is Tylenol to try to help control the fever.
Hmm. Do you think it helped?
Tylenol?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Do you think the Z-Pak helped?
I'm not sure that really made a difference.
You feel like it was your body ultimately winning the war.
My body was going to do what it was going to do. Yes.
Yeah, I think the only area probably that Z-Pak would help, because antibiotics going to target bacteria, not a virus. It's probably, it just supported your immune system against anything else you might have encountered. But it certainly wasn't going to fight the virus itself. That's that's really harrowing, though. You know, your body took it on, which is pretty much what everyone's having to do. It's a novel virus. Your body's never seen it before. And your body's figuring out on its own how to beat it.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that once I started getting the shortness of breath, I spent a lot of time doing deep breathing to try to just make sure my lungs were going to keep working through this.
Sure.
It was really uncomfortable, but I felt like it made a difference.
I think there's a good bit of misinformation out there from a certain group of people trying to politicize this that, you know, if you test positive, the state's going to take away all your rights and they're going to lock you up and you're not going to be able to do anything. Can you talk about, you know, you tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
You're here in the studio, so you haven't been locked up.
No.
We are not talking to you from a jail cell.
Right.
So what happened to you when you tested positive? You got the test. Did people knock on your door? What happened?
No, I didn't get a knock on the door. I think the day that I found out that I was positive, I got a call from the health department epidemiologist. So the epidemiologist went over symptoms with me and went over ways to be protective of myself and of other people around me. So that was the first day. And then after that, monitoring calls occurred from the health department. And they were, I think, once every 2 or 3 days. So then they release you after you are symptom-free, I think, for about 4 days.
And when you say release you?
Well, so you get a letter in the beginning that says, you have COVID, you need to stay home, you need to, you know, they just give you the list of things to do to not pass this along to others.
Mm-hmm. From the Division of Public Health.
Yes, yes. And then when they release you, they send you a letter that says you are being released, you are symptom-free, and we are considering you recovered. So, no, there was no guard at the door, no one doing anything. It was really, there's a lot of, I think, impetus on yourself to make sure that you're not passing this along.
Sure, sure.
Did you save the recovered letter?
I did.
Frame it?
I didn't frame it, but I saved it.
Did you, I don't know, use it as a coaster when you drank a bottle of wine or something like that?
I just saved it and thought, I Well, as I was coming in, I've been trying to see my mother in the nursing home for a week and a half now. And I was hopeful that if I showed them the letter, they'd let me in. But, you know, there's a lot of restrictions for a good reason. So
still
I don't know what I'll
in.
Do with it. No, still can't go in.
You're trying to figure out how that's your ticket into. Yeah, we were joking around the office. We should start a bar called Antibodies. Mm-hmm. And just your recovered
yes.
letter is your ticket into the bar.
That'd be
exactly.
good. Exactly. So, you know, you've done the antibody test.
I did.
You came back.
And I have antibodies.
You have antibodies. Do you feel a little bit like you have a superpower right now?
What I do feel is that before I got COVID and I'd wear my mask everywhere, I would, when people would do things like wear the mask under their nose instead of covering their nose or touch everything, you know, do things that I thought, ugh. You know, this is leaving me vulnerable. I don't worry about that now. Mm-hmm. So if that's my superpower, it's just I'm worried less than I was before. I think it is. I think there's a burden that you carry around with worrying about who am I coming into contact that's going to give this to me. And I think that's a stress. And frankly, for healthcare workers in particular, I think it's traumatizing. Over time. And when you have healthcare workers daily coming into contact all day long that are working on COVID units, that is a huge stress for them. And so I think not having to worry about that is actually lifting.
For sure.
Yeah.
We started today at the county. This was our first county run testing day today. Now, I don't know when people are going to listen to this. So today is June 1st. It's Monday. That's when we're recording this. But today, first one, we had at the Food Lion parking lot out on Governor Prince Boulevard. We got another one on Wednesday at Marbrook Elementary. We got a couple more of these, and it was largely staffed by members of the office. We had the Delaware National Guard, we had some volunteers. And I can, like, I had some anxiety going mm-hmm. into this. You know, we were lucky. We had PPE. We were set up.
Face shields, gowns.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to get tested, go to delaware.curativeinc.com. You can sign up to get tested today. Regardless of symptoms, we're now testing everyone.
And how many do you think we had today?
Today, I believe we did about 500. We expect to test 3,000 this week, mm-hmm. 3,000 a week throughout the month of June.
Yeah. The first hour was nonstop. It was packed. We had them going down the block. But, I mean, to that end, I can empathize with that anxiety because, you know, just going into this, knowing there's probably someone in one of these cars that has it. I'm going to come in contact probably today with someone who has it. Not that then just that feeling on the street all the time, right? It's got to be. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a healthcare provider and you're directly related, it's got to be there.
And the reality is, especially in the beginning, you weren't going to get tested on a regular basis. You got tested because you had symptoms.
For sure.
Because you didn't feel well. And so know that your health department and all your folks that have been rigorously testing folks have been exposed over and over again. And it's their good skills in how to do this is what's keeping them safe.
Talking to Ruth Lytle Barnaby, she is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Delaware. Not only is she a leading expert in the state on health and women's health, but she is also one of the 5,353 Delawareans who has recovered from COVID-19.
That's a great number, too. Out of how many people do we know have tested positive? 9,000 something?
I think we're over 9,200.
Yeah,
now.
9,605.
So. That's good to know that we've got the recovery number is over half of that, so that's people right. are getting better. That's great. And actually, on that point, I've heard they've been using plasma from people like yourself to treat. Have you been asked to donate yet? Or
I haven't been asked, but I got the antibody test so that I could. But you have to be a month out.
Gotcha.
So I'm not quite at that point where I can donate the plasma.
And that is being used, as far as I know, as I guess the. There's the thought that the antibodies are in the plasma, and once the antibodies are introduced, it's kind of like a vaccine. It's giving your body the coding on how to fight it. So,
Ruth, if I have a friend, a family member, who mm-hmm. just tested positive for COVID-19, how can I support them mentally, emotionally?
You know, what really helped, there's a couple of things going on out in the world right now. The hard part is that there's a little bit of shaming going on for people that get COVID, and there's a lot of you did something wrong. And so the first thing you can do is just support them and ask what they need. I had people sending me just cards, send a card. People delivered food, I have wonderful neighbors. They'd leave it right there at the front door, ring the bell, walk way back. You know, I decided not to hide it very purposely because I feel like this is going to be a part of our society for maybe forever. And so how do we help the people around us? And all of those gestures and just emails were all wonderful gestures. Offer to go to the store for them. If it's someone that doesn't have someone who can shop for them and you're not allowed out of your residence, all of those things can be helpful. Any and all.
Bring them some toilet paper.
Yes.
From your personal stockpile. We were at the testing event today. We got pizza for the volunteers, and we were at the food line. I walked on the food line to get paper towels. They were completely out of paper towels.
Even now?
Still.
Wow.
Even now. One of like six things in napkins, and I got two of them. That was it.
I can bring a roll tomorrow.
Yeah, that's
I didn't stockpile them, to be clear.
Bring a roll tomorrow.
I bought an eight pack. Good. So let's talk a little bit, Ruth, about your day job. You're back to work now.
Yes.
Whatever back to work might mean, like moving from one room in your house to another. I don't know if it does.
No, I'm actually at work.
You're at work. Uh-huh. Good. Yeah, I guess it's something. Yes. Tell me, so Planned Parenthood has effectively an inpatient clinic. There are people that come there to get health services. Mm-hmm. When this started in mid-March, did you close? Did services continue? Because a lot of things you're providing are absolutely critical to women's health.
Yes. And so we closed one clinic so that our staff could be concentrated in the other two clinics, just because it takes longer when you have people coming in to test them, not COVID testing, but just the symptom checking. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure that we had enough staff to adequately care for the patients we had.
And patients were coming?
Oh, they absolutely.
Throughout the whole.
Many health centers talk about a drop in patients of 50-60%. I'd say maybe 10% drop for us. So our patients are still coming. You know, you still get an STD, and you still need birth control, and all of those things happen. So we are still seeing patients in the clinic. We also are seeing patients telehealth, and then what we call Planned Parenthood Direct, which is some online as well. So that way, if you need a birth control refill, we can talk to you online, and we can help you and not expose you.
Good.
In any additional way. So there's some things we can do. There's other things you absolutely need a visit for. But we have stayed open, and so we've stayed open Monday through Friday. We don't have our evening hours right now. We're trying to just keep who the essential people are in the building when they're there and seeing patients. So we are doing all of that.
What are you seeing any additional stresses on women's health or sort of negative aspects of COVID-19 that people might not actually think about?
Yes. I think the first thing is the psychological stress of the burden of walking around and wondering. There is definitely a burden for people that have been in their homes and the only thing they've ever done is go to the grocery store and back. So getting people back out in the community and visiting your healthcare provider and wondering if somebody else has it is a little bit of a barrier to work through. We worked it out in our clinic so that we only allow a couple of people in the waiting room at a time, and you're very far apart. But even that can be stressful for patients. I think the idea for some women that right now with COVID, the idea of getting pregnant is horrifying. And it's horrifying because there's this pandemic going on, and there's a lot of worry about how can I be pregnant during a pandemic? How can I, you know, that is all there.
That I won't be able to get the health care assistance.
Or
that
what
I
if I got COVID and I'm pregnant?
Yeah,
or
what
if
mean?
It?
Yeah.
What if I had a baby and the baby got COVID when I was in delivery? You know, just
do you know
all
the answers to some of this? So if a pregnant woman does get COVID, my understanding it does not necessarily transmit to the baby.
My sister-in-law is due in 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. She and her husband are very, very sure they've both had it. Mm-hmm. They're in Vancouver, and they had all shortness of breath, high fever, both of them over 102, aches, all of it, and couldn't get a test. At that time, British Columbia just didn't have the testing capacity. It just told them both, self-isolate. This would have been, and they felt good about 6-7 days after. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing. One day, woke up, I feel normal now. Okay. But, you know, still can't quite get the antibody test. That's they're still catching up to that. So, but she's, knock on wood, fine. So, at least what we've seen also too in other SARS-related viruses, the small study in China, I think it was 36 pregnant women, all 36 fetuses were fine. So, knock on wood.
That's what we believe to be true. There were a couple of cases where there was some real struggle with the women that were pregnant, but they pulled them through just fine, and they went on to deliver healthy babies.
Yeah, so, and obviously the risk is going to be to you, mm-hmm. you know, and your ability to fight the virus, but yes. Yeah, the transmission to the fetus is mm-hmm. not necessarily the concern.
But like everything else during pregnancy, there are many health things to worry about, and people worry. They just worry. So I think, and also with all of the job loss and am I getting unemployment? How long is that going to last? All of the just financial strain as well leave people wanting to really make sure that their birth control's in order, because we even know that the pregnancy rate jumps up after spring break. We see a big jump. And so imagine months in your own home. I mean, it just, things happen.
Yeah,
so,
well, and we see usually during recessions,
yeah.
You know, same thing, when people aren't working, they're mm-hmm. filling time.
Yes.
And that's one way to fill it.
Exactly.
How do you see COVID changing healthcare? Do you think, you know, June 1st, today, Delaware goes into phase one.
Mm-hmm.
So things are opening up a bit as they possibly continue to open up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that changing what Planned Parenthood does or what the organization faces?
So the bigger question is healthcare overall, and there are some experts, you know, they used to say everything's going to move to outpatient, and now they're talking about your hospital's going to be one big ICU, and that's where things are going. And
meaning for basic care, it's telehealth, and if it's something critical, you go into the hospital.
Well, with COVID in particular,
right.
that those that go to the hospital end up in a pretty critical way,
right.
Very quickly. I think that some of the skills that we're learning around transmission, we will have to figure out long-term how to deal with that. Because even if there was a vaccine tomorrow, that doesn't mean everybody's vaccinated tomorrow. That's decades to get people vaccinated. So this idea that COVID can be around for generations and us having to figure out how do we care for people. And Planned Parenthood, it's intimate care. You know, it is intimate care. And so we have to figure out how to make sure that we are not only protecting our staff, but also protecting the patients as well. So I do see differences in where there was a lot of work on efficiency and productivity and backing off of some of that, because we now have also the burden of keeping you safe mm. and healthy, and the psychological burden mm. that we're dealing with all of our patients.
Mm.
Yeah, I think if you look at it like polio, right, when the polio mm-hmm. vaccine was developed in 1955, it was 1979 before the United States was declared polio-free. And mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of people are looking back at polio as like, where were the lessons we learned then? We've been working with BioBot to test wastewater. That was done heavily during the polio epidemics to track and figure out where things are. And I think that's what we're seeing now that we've started to flatten the curve and we've started to get a handle on it. You're seeing more and more this kind of look back at how we handled the 1918 pandemic, you know, when we're talking about mask use, trying to pull those lessons back out. And hopefully that means, because we were learning from the past, we're going to get through this faster, that we won't have the second wave that we saw in 1918 that was five times worse than the first wave. But I guess this is where you can really lend some emphasis to this. I think everybody just kind of feels like everything's back to normal. You know, our focus is now on civil unrest. Mm-hmm. That's the main news story. It's not the pandemic anymore. States are starting to open back up, and there's a real chance that this could hit back hard. And you're a real testament to the seriousness of mm-hmm. what can happen to you if you don't take it seriously.
Yes. Unfortunately, I do think we'll see upticks over time. And people seem to feel done with all of this. If you just look at where people used to be really far apart, seems like social distance, like people are getting closer and closer together, fewer masks, just people, I think, feel fed up with the whole thing, and they just feel done. So with that, though, comes another uptick in COVID.
And that's certainly one of the reasons we're pushing, you know, getting tested, we're hammering these testing sites. You know, you've had it, and it's real. And people, I mean, I think a lot of it is the increased politicization of it,
mm-hmm.
that word, of the issue. I mean, for the first time since all this started, I can't tell you, it's probably been since March the 5th or 6th that I went to a restaurant
mm-hmm.
on Sunday
mm-hmm.
with my family. in Maryland. They, you know, restaurants started, and we sat outside, but it, we all kind of looked at each other and like remarked at like, man, I can't believe it's been 3 or however many months since we've been able to do this. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. And we saw, you know, the restaurant had a rule. You want to come in, you want to sit out here, you need to have a mask. I think we saw most 90% of people wearing them, but some people walking right in, no mask on, disregard, whatever. Yes. I just hope that people don't write this off.
I don't think the world will let it. I think COVID will make itself known. And so if we become complacent and stop wearing masks and start even handshaking again and all the things that we do as people, COVID will make itself known. And I think that is the tragedy of it. And I think about my mother. She's 92 and in an assisted living facility. And I survived this. I don't think she would.
Right.
And so I think that's the idea that even if you don't care about yourself, can you protect the people, especially the seniors around you? Make sure that they're protected, because losing them is just unthinkable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, too, people look at, you know, if you look at the number of cases in the United States versus the number of deaths, I think the mortality rate, the raw mortality rate on those two numbers is like 5%. If you, you know, extrapolate out the fact that there's a lot more people who are infected, never got a test, never presented symptoms or whatever, we believe the number's probably around 1% to 2% might be the overall raw mortality rate. But if you then break that into age groups, if you're below 60, your mortality rate is even lower. It's a fraction of a percent. But if you're over 60, and especially if you're in that 70, 80, 90 range, people in their 90s, the mortality rate is 20%. It is an incredibly deadly disease. But it doesn't mean if you're younger, you can't get it, you can't get seriously infected or ill from it, and that you can't give it to these other people in your life.
Right.
And I think early on, we talked about, you know, like, do it for grandma and grandpa, right? That can't go away.
Correct. It can't go away, because they will go away if we don't, if we're not protective. And if you just think about the number of people that it takes to care for grandma and grandpa, mom or dad, and that you might not directly expose the senior, but you might expose the person who's taking care of the senior. And I think that is so important to consider when you're thinking about, do I really want to wear this mask or not? And it really has nothing to do with politics. It's just good hygiene. It just helps slow the spread of disease.
For sure. Really the thing that just, yeah, I don't know what's happened in society that people are so self-focused anymore. Mm-hmm. That why on earth would I inconvenience myself to wear a mask for something I'm not afraid of? And it's not it. It's just not it. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, you don't have the answer on how to fix society, or you would have.
I'd be doing all kinds of additional things.
Yeah, but you know, I hope, and obviously, I would think most people probably listen, who take the time to sit and listen to this, probably feel the same way. But I would just hope we can get to a point where people start caring about people again, and stop thinking of things so self-focused. It's just frustrating.
Yes, because no matter how you believe or what you believe about COVID, there's definitely a virus out there that's definitely impacting people. And if you know someone with it, I'm sure they can use your help. And you can be helpful. Even with kind words, you can be helpful. So that's really where we need to move to.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. Ruth, we've been going for about 30 minutes. Is there anything else you want to add or touch on before we let you go?
I would just say for Planned Parenthood, our doors are open. We are here to take care of you. We are very safe, and we'll keep you safe as well. So we hope you, if you need us, come see us.
That's great. Planned Parenthood, such a vital organization. I used to work for the News Journal. One of my first assignments, I interned at the News Journal even before that, and one of my first assignments was at Planned Parenthood. This was back in maybe 2009. and the office was launching an STD educational thing for young kids. It was for like kids in fifth or sixth grade about, you know, what these things are, because sometimes in middle school, you know, they're starting to get active. And they were doing it. They had like plush dolls for the different STDs. And I can remember going to like photograph, and that was my first interaction with Planned Parenthood. And it was that was 11, 12 years ago, and I can remember it just like yesterday. So it's nice that, you know, that it's not the organization gets politicized, but the organization is so much about education, and it's so important. If you want to prevent things like STDs or things that are unplanned, education is the way to do it. And that's what we're hoping to do here, right? Nobody should be planning to get COVID.
Correct.
So we're going to try to educate you as much as we can so you don't.
Thank you so much, Ruth, for coming in today. We had a conversation today with Ruth Lytle Barnaby, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Delaware. She talked about what it's like to be recovered from COVID-19, to go through the illness, and also gave some advice on people about how to both support those we love when they contract COVID-19, and also how to support an organization we all love, Planned Parenthood, supporting women's health in our community for decades in the past and for decades to come. Thank you so much, Ruth.
And with that, Ruth, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you to County Executive Matt Meyer for working with us today as our co-host. And anytime you want to come back, we're happy to have you.
Well, thank you for having me.